Hello and welcome. You're listening to the Kres Files podcast with Adam and Garth. It's Wednesday, the 3rd of June, 2015. This podcast is available from podomatic.com, so look for the Kres Files there, and you can also get it at iTunes. You can check us out on Facebook. Look for the Kres Files. You can also listen to the podcast up there. We're also over at Twitter, and we have a YouTube page as well, the Kres Files, C-R-A-Z-Z. You can send us an email to thekresfiles@yahoo.com.au. Okay, guys, we're ready to go.
Great.
All plugged in today with our guest, John Rappaport from nomorefakenews.com. John, good to have you back.
Very good to be here. Thanks so much.
Good to always catch up with you. And as I say, we're in a vaccine war as well, and we also have the TPP, which you're doing some great articles on, quite sort of staggering to keep up with it all. But let's catch up with you. What's happening on your end on the vaccine front? We're trying to keep an eye on it, because anything that happens here happens there, and everything that happens there happens here. Actually, I was thinking maybe we could merge Australia and California together, you know, and call it Calaralia or something like that, you know?
Something like that.
They could put us out in the sea, John, like that Escape from New York, and it could be a total police state and military dictatorship and medical dictatorship as well. It's getting so bad. But,
well, what's happening here is right now, Cheryl Atkinson, who used to work for CBS and resigned because she couldn't get her investigative stories on the air, now has her own website. So she's broken a story that the federal government has scrubbed the files for the last year, omitted, deleted, taken out references to injuries caused by vaccines. So that's gone from government website. That was there before. It's there for prior years. But, of course, the rate of injuries and the number have been escalating in recent years. And so they've taken down the figures for the last year, which is a confession that they are running scared, trying to cover up things. The push for mandatory vaccines in America and, of course, Australia is so huge now that they don't want to leave themselves exposed by letting people know that this fatuous statement that they keep making, which is that vaccines are remarkably safe, is a total lie, and that under the surface, the injuries keep piling up, neurological injuries, brain injuries, destroyed immune systems, et cetera, et cetera. And so when they realized, obviously, that they were exposed because they had the figures published on the numbers of vaccine injuries recorded in the last year, they just took them down. They got rid of them. So she discovered that and exposed it. Not only that, but I found a reference the other day. I still haven't published anything on this. And that is, in the United States, and by the way, before I go on, in Australia, you should be looking at this very carefully, how the numbers of vaccine-injured people in Australia is tracked and recorded. Who does it? How reliable or unreliable are the statistics, and so on and so forth? The other thing that I discovered just yesterday is that in the U.S. we have this system called VAERS, V-A-E-R-S, the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, which is the way that doctors and patients report to the government cases of obvious vaccine injury to adults and children. So we've been hearing for the past, I don't know, 7 or 8 years, that annually about 11 or 12,000 reports of vaccine injuries in the United States are made to this government system. But recent figures that I just saw show that in the last 3 or 4 years, the reported number of vaccine injuries in America through this system is averaging out to about 30,000 a year.
Oh,
which
golly.
Is more than double, right? And now, to cap it off, the system is broken, you see, because, first of all, doctors are not prone to reporting vaccine injuries. Why should they? Because they're the ones who are doing the vaccinations. And many, many patients or parents of children who are vaccinated in America are not even aware that there is a system for reporting injuries. So they don't even report them. Therefore, we know that the number, the real number, is going to be much, much higher. And if we make an analogy, for example, to annual reports of injuries from medical drugs in America, which are not classified technically as vaccines, separate category, we know that somewhere between 10% and 1% only of the actual injuries from medical drugs are reported. So that would mean that we're looking annually in the United States, gauging by the 30,000 figure of reported vaccine injuries, at an actual figure that rests somewhere between 300,000 and 3 million vaccine injuries per year in the United States. And that should give you a tip off, too, about Australia and listeners from any other countries where vaccines are widespread, that if you can access government information, you're going to be able to dig out suggestions of how many vaccine injuries really exist and hold this in the face of the lying experts who claim that vaccines are remarkably safe. Because just the opposite is true.
That is frightening, isn't it? They're talking about in Australia, they're going to start this spraying of the flu vaccine, aerosol spraying. And all states, it appears, except New South Wales for some reason.
They're going to spray the vaccine in the air?
Yes. It's the Office of Gene Technology in Australia has approved an application from Paxvax Australia for the intentional release of GMO bacteria, if you like, into the environment. That's in Queensland, South Australia, Western Australia, and Victoria.
And these are actually touted to be vaccines?
Yes.
Send me the link on that. I want to see that.
All right.
Well, that's really unbelievable. I mean, so in that case, nobody escapes, right?
Yeah. Nobody escapes. And it's been the Office of the Gene Technology Regulator is on its way. They haven't approved it yet, but it's on its way to approve a license application from Paxvax. And when I checked further on that, there was another article I dug up, which I haven't had time this morning to read, but this lady was discussing it, and she was claiming that this is terrible because everybody gets it. There is no choice.
Right. Also, you don't really know what's in it. And, you know, the concentration of different elements like toxic chemicals and the amount of germ material that is being sprayed randomly. I mean, if this is really going to happen, It seems to me that a court action immediately, a class action could be formed, because even the government of Australia admits that there are people who, for medical reasons, should not be vaccinated. Yes. So that means that aerosol is going to expose everybody, including those people who would be open to extreme harm and even death from the random spraying of vaccines. So that would indicate to me a gigantic lawsuit that could be filed. But the point here is that people have to understand the authorities will parrot over and over and over again from their perches on media that these vaccines are remarkably safe. That is a total lie. That's what they wave in people's faces. Oh, you conspiracy theorists think that there's a problem with vaccines, but there's never really been a problem. They're incredibly safe. In fact, they're among the safest substances that we could possibly have, blah, 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 blah. When that is an absolute fiction, that's a lie. People have to be aware of it. They have to understand that, and they have to be willing to go to the mat against the authorities with the actual evidence that this is a lie.
Mm. Yes, it certainly is. And from your blog, John, I picked up when you went on and you called the corporations of the world the new gods. And this is exactly what we're talking about, where the corporations are just overruling the constitutions of the people in all countries. And you can't even, like, if I was to send an email today to our health department, I would get immediately a computer reply, and that's about as far as it's going to go. And then I'd get referred to somebody down the line who actually wants to discuss another subject apart from the one that I'm questioning. And this is going on all the time, which of course, tells me that our governments aren't even interested in what we have to say. Could you expand on your view on the corporations, the new gods?
Sure. Well, let's go back to 1945, the end of the Second World War. At that time, the plan was, and that's when a treaty called GATT, the General Agreement on Trade and Tariffs, began to be negotiated, that resulted 50 years later in the creation of the World Trade Organization. And these are, we're talking about a globalist treaty, and there have been others, and the latest one is called the TPP, which is being negotiated right now, the Trans-Pacific Partnership. The whole idea was, at the end of World War II, well, who is going to run the world now that Germany and Japan have been defeated, and so on and so forth? And the obvious instrument for globalist empire, which means globalist management of the planet, which means something like the European Union, let's say, only a lot stronger and covering the entire planet. The instruments of that takeover, as long as it would take, would be massive mega corporations, because they are the premier organizations in the world that can go into other countries and take over land, resources, and cheap labor. That's what the takeover is really all about. And armies and intelligence agencies and so forth are the forward wedge of that. But coming in behind that are these massive corporations like Monsanto and like Syngenta and like Dow, and giant pharmaceutical companies like Glaxo and Pfizer and so forth, which no matter where they're based are really international corporations. And so what the World Trade Organization has been able to do, and what every succeeding trade treaty has done, is to give more power to these corporations. For example, the right not to have to pay tariffs for goods that are exported around the world, which formerly were there, these tariffs, in order to protect the industries and companies of nations who would be competing against these monsters. So, for example, let's take this in the United States in the late 1960s and early 70s, the textile industry in the United States began to be overtaken by Japanese textiles because tariffs had been lowered when these companies from Japan exported textiles into the United States. And since the Japanese at the time were manufacturing them much more cheaply, companies in America began to fail. Factories went idle, no longer functional. You can still see the old buildings in New England here and in the South that went out of business because the mega corporations were given tremendous advantages. And this has continued. For example, let's take some theoretical gigantic Australian corporation. Under these trade treaties, they can freely and without prosecution close up shop in Australia, set up factories in underdeveloped countries that manufacture the same thing that they were manufacturing in Australia with slave labor in the foreign lands. And then they can send those finished products back to Australia for sale without paying tariffs. So these products are now incredibly cheap, and that puts even more people out of work in Australia because the homegrown companies in Australia that were producing these items can't compete. So you close down domestic factories in Australia, putting thousands of people out of work. You send the jobs overseas at slave labor, which produces cheap products. You bring them back into Australia, no tariffs, and you explode them on the market, putting other companies in Australia out of business. That's the pattern that's set up by these treaties that make the corporations into gods. And when you multiply that out into the arena of, let's say, Monsanto, which stands for genetically modified agriculture and huge corporate farms all over the world that plant these GMO seeds, or giant pharmaceutical companies that sell toxic drugs to people all over the world. Now, with a TPP, this Trans-Pacific Partnership, if, let's say, a company in the United States decides to export a drug, a medical drug, to Australia to sell to wholesalers, retailers, whatever, and the Australian government intercedes and says, we think that that drug, even though it's been approved in America as safe, is dangerous and we don't want it in the country. The American pharmaceutical company can sue the Australian government, not in an Australian court, but in a private corporate tribunal, and win, and thereby win enormous dollar damages from the Australian government, for which the Australian taxpayer will pay, and even then still be able to export that dangerous medical drug into Australia. Mm-hmm. So this is a total breakdown of national standards of safety in favor of corporate standards of safety, which mean only one thing to corporations, and that is the ability to sell, the ability to make profit, regardless of how dangerous and destructive the product is. Doesn't matter. That's another way that these corporations become gods. They run the planet. They move into a country, they set up shop, they take what they want, and then if they decide they want to leave, they just take out their money and go, leaving everybody in the lurch. They travel here and there. They roam freely like predators over the whole planet. They buy and sell. They pay no tariffs. They manufacture goods with slave labor, and they export toxic substances all over the world, and they pay no penalty for it.
So part of what you were saying, John, was that eventually with this TPP, the governments so that it doesn't get so complicated and complex, they will all join forces and just give the nod anyway.
That's exactly right. That's what I call phase two of the program after the TPP is passed and ratified. Because, as I just described, the 12 member nations, in this case, of the TPP, which range from, you know, United States and Canada to Australia, Japan, Brunei, Peru, etc., etc., all these member countries are going to soon realize that they don't want these messy lawsuits and damage claims and private tribunals and so forth. And so these governments will get together and say, look, for example, in the area of medical safety, what we want is that the FDA in the United States and its comparable agency in Australia and Canada and all of these nations are really going to function as one. We'll all declare a new drug to be safe and effective at the same time or very close to that. Therefore, nobody will be able to refuse it, refuse to import it, refuse to sell it, refuse to use it. We'll be like one giant agency. And then in that article you mentioned, I went on to show the incredible corruption and mafia-like activity of the FDA in the United States when it comes to approving drugs as safe and effective. And this would be the standard, the organized crime standard, if you will, for all of these agencies acting together. They would be a criminal international enterprise allowing toxic drugs and vaccines to be exported and imported throughout all of the countries, arbitrarily declaring them safe and effective with no recourse whatsoever, period. And the victims would be, of course, the populations of these countries. And you see, in that way, they internationalize these functions by treaties which supersede national laws in all of these 12 countries. National laws have no standing against international treaties. The treaty becomes superior, legally speaking. So the only recourse would be to cancel the treaty, which is an incredibly hard thing to do once it's been ratified. That's the story.
Yeah, and they can change it at will as well, Garth, once it's in. They can do it as many changes as they, whatever they feel like. They'll just make changes, but you can't get rid of it.
That's right. In fact, one senator, a U.S. senator who read some of the contents of this, by the way, secret TPP treaty. I mean, that's a whole other area. It's completely secret. I mean, legislators in the United States and the Congress can only read select portions of it, even though they're going to vote on it. And whatever they read, they are not permitted to discuss or disclose to the public in America. They're not allowed to take their notes out of a sealed room where they read these, carefully chosen selections. They never read the whole thing. So one senator, Jeff Sessions, came out and said that one of the most heinous things about what he read was this idea of being able to change and alter the treaty after it's ratified. And with no limits, the President of the United States, for example, representing America and the heads of state in the other countries, can agree on changes that would favor corporations in new, as yet unimagined ways, just by declaration, without consulting in the United States, the Congress, or in Australia, any legislative branch of government, ditto for all the other 10 countries. And so it's open-ended. It's completely open-ended. Anything could happen.
Oh.
So the governments are just stooges, become stooges, and the constitutions are useless.
Puppets.
Correct.
Absolutely mind-boggling. Because when we're seeing the movement here, John, recently one of Australia's great cartoonists, Sir Michael Lunig.
I sent that to John. I think.
Sent that to John.
Yeah.
And that's how bad it's getting. Where, and I remember you also mentioned that these reporters that are spilling on about vaccines, for instance, know absolutely nothing about it.
Yes. In fact, I was
on a take that on a bit? Because there's so many, we've got so many of these reporters in this country for these papers. They're coming on as though they know all about vaccines, and they're allowed to write about it when they know nothing.
Makes your blood boil, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah.
Would you open out on that a bit? Because it's important to people who are listening.
Yeah, I really want listeners to understand this. I mean, I've been a reporter for more than 30 years now, so I know a lot of reporters. I know how the business works. And whether or not you understand this, first of all, the so-called reporters that you see on television, 95% of them are not really reporters. They're just reading from teleprompters. And their job is simply to sound as if they know what they're talking about. They don't really do research, certainly never independent research. They don't access voices outside the preferred reliable sources to see what's really going on. They never do that. So therefore, when they get up on television and they say, well, we have a few dissenters who believe for some reason that vaccines could be dangerous. And this is, absurd. In fact, we're going to bring on the program now Dr. So-and-so from such-and-such. And doctor, what do you think about this? And then they have a chummy conversation about how a certain portion of the public are completely deranged and idiots for believing that there could be anything wrong with vaccines. Well, the doctors have only read the mainstream studies. The doctors have not accessed the government databases, which really show the number of vaccine injuries every year that I mentioned at the beginning here. The reporters know absolutely nothing personally. They take all their cues from the doctors and from other, quote, reliable sources, which turn out to be a medical bureaucrats within the government who are promoting a certain line of approach. Of course, for example, in America, the Centers for Disease Control, which is really the agency that has to do with vaccines and vaccine safety, have bought several billion dollars worth of vaccines for distribution to the states. Well, if they're buying all of this and yet at the same time conducting so-called studies on vaccine safety, do you really think they're going to come out and say that the $3 billion worth of vaccines that they purchased are unsafe? I mean, there's an inherent conflict of interest right at the beginning. But these reporters never delve into that. They get up on their high horse and pretend that they know what reality is all about. That's all that they do. And then if you can corner them for a controversy, they will get very insulted, as if they have somehow by osmosis learned everything there is to know and you know nothing. And that is why, as I mentioned, I think the last time we talked, that it's incumbent on everybody who is awake and understands these vaccine issues to go on the offensive and not to try to convince and hope to convince and plead to convince the powers that be, because they absolutely know nothing. The people who are awake and who have actually done independent research are the ones who have knowledge, and they should act like it. They should be talking from a position of knowledge and authority and rebuffing any attempt by the so-called reporters to appear knowledgeable when they're not. I mean, I have run into so many reporters in my life and talked with them on various subjects to confirm what I suspected, which was they're absolute know-nothings. They have no real knowledge. They only pretend to have knowledge. Mm. The business of being a reporter in any country in the world now is having so-called access to, quote, reliable sources to make a story, whether it's in the field of medicine, health, military, energy, government, money. It's the same pattern everywhere. if you as a reporter have access, that is, you're able to speak to academicians, university researchers, government officials, corporate spokespeople, et cetera, then you have a career. And you must, of course, take what they say as divinely inspired. Because if you don't, you will no longer have access, and therefore you will no longer have a career. That's what the career of a mainstream reporter is all about, and it's really about nothing else.
Yes, toe the line. That's it.
Toe the line and have access to certain sources. That's what you... In fact, I could give you chapter and verse on instances where a reporter decides, let's say at a major media outlet, could be in Australia, America, doesn't matter, that he's going to cover a controversial story. And he's going to do it in such a way that gives some credence to the, quote, opposing side. So in order to bring that story on the air or bring it into print, he has to get an okay from his editor. That's the way it works. He goes into his editor and he pitches the story. You know, we've got a story about vaccines here because it's come to my attention, and I've really done some research on this, that the number of vaccine injuries prevalent in Australia by year is much greater than officials are willing to admit. And so I want to cover this story. And his editor looks at him and says, really, you want to cover this story, right? Let me ask you a question. What do you think is going to happen to you? Forget about whether or not you're right or wrong. What is going to happen to you if you cover this story in the way that you want to cover it? I'll tell you what's going to happen to you. You're going to lose your sources on many other stories. The medical people that you talk to when you write about other medical issues will now shun you. They'll refuse to talk to you. You'll be unable to quote anybody. You'll be a lone wolf out in the forest, crying alone in the night, and you'll be cut off. Is that what you're looking for in your career? And the reporter will think about this and say, forget I ever came into the office, and I'll go back over something else.
Yes. Oh, dear. Yes. Oh, my goodness.
It's crazy.
And it's getting worse. Yes.
Is John, there was also something that went under the radar was from Augusta, Maine, Bill LD471, which is a bill to fight vaccine misinformation, and it's cleared there in a legislative health panel. So it's a bill designed to ensure parents have reliable, accurate information when it comes to vaccinating their children. So, you know, this is getting really frightening because... they're stating here that this is a bill to fight vaccine misinformation, which means it's getting like China now, where you'll only be able to receive the information they want you to receive, and the stuff that you're doing, for example, and we're talking about, won't be allowed to be shown to parents who want proper information on both sides. So they're bringing in bills now.
Yes. That is, you know, Orwell's 1984.
Unbelievable.
Coming true. So... it remains to be seen, for example, is the state of Maine, if they pass this bill, going to censor my blog in all of the state of Maine? Are they going to find a way to cut it off? Are they going to find a way to limit access to other websites and blogs and research that is contrary to what medical bureaucrats are lying about? Is that what they're really going to do? How far will they take it? And if they pass the bill, then that's going to be an acid test, because they can certainly put the information that they want to be received in front of every parent in the state of Maine. That's no problem for the government. All they have to do is raise a little bit more tax money through a sales tax, and they can do that. They can send out brochures and flyers. They can put up websites. They can bring government spokesmen on television programs in the state of Maine. They can do all of that. They can brainwash people that way. But are they really going to try on the other side to cut off access of the citizens of Maine from contrary information? How far will they go in attempting to do that? Because I can tell you that in the U.S., if they cross a certain line on that, there will be massive lawsuits over First Amendment and protection of First Amendment. Even some vaccine advocates who work within legal organizations will take up that case, because even they will recognize that if they can go down that slippery slope when it comes to vaccines, then the state of Maine can begin to do other things. For example, what about psychiatric drugs? This is an enormously toxic landmine, which I've covered in chapter and verse for a long time now. The incredibly toxic effects, brain damaging effects, all sorts of horrendous effects, including the promotion of suicide and homicide when it comes to some of these drugs, by scrambling neurotransmitters in the brain, a horrendous area that needs to be exposed more. Okay, so are they going to suddenly say to the citizens of Maine, we are promoting further use of psychiatry on school children, and we want to provide parents with truthful information about the diagnosis of mental disorders in the young, and we also want to cut off access to conspiracy theories and misinformation. Are they really going to do that as step two? And if they do that, how far else will they go? I mean, that would be something if they really decided to go that route.
Yeah. And just to let people know, you're not kidding there, from CBS Atlanta, John, there was a news story out, a study saying that painkillers, anti-anxiety medications linked to increased risk of homicide.
Indeed.
So this is for the first time ever scientists have linked prescription drugs that affect the central nervous system to an increased risk of committing homicide. So, you know, this is absolutely incredible. Incredible.
And there are only about, you know, maybe a billion pills of tranquilizers consumed in the U.S. every year. I mean, the numbers are just off the charts. So, you know, it's manufacturing killers, right? Because you damage the brain enough and people are going to go off. They're just going to go off and do things that they would never do otherwise. It's the... you don't need to have enormous amount of technical understanding to realize this. It's like saying, look, if we gradually poison a person, what effects will we see along the way between now and when that person dies? What is that person going to do? Well, it's completely unpredictable, really. They're going to do all kinds of things, because I can tell you from my own research and interviews with psychiatric patients that beyond a certain level of toxicity, people, that is what driving a person crazy really means. People will just absolutely go crazy, because a body full of toxins is not meant to live a reasonable kind of life. It just goes off completely. So, yeah, what about that? Suppose somebody decides, okay, state of Maine, the people there need to know about this effect. And so some newspaper in Maine begins to not only publish stories about this, but investigate the use of tranquilizers in the state of Maine, really digging in hard on an investigative series. Would the state of Maine decide that they need to censor that? What about if a newspaper in the state of Maine decides they're going to do a special series on vaccines, and they're not going to just take what the CDC says or the FDA. They're going to go out in the field and begin to interview many, many parents and find out what's happened to their children after being vaccinated. And they come up with all kinds of horrific information. Is the state of Maine government going to try to censor those newspapers? Is that what's going to happen? I mean, because if that's the case, then we're talking about massive court actions. Because it's one thing even to say you must take certain vaccines. It's quite another thing to say, and you must not talk about vaccine the following way.
Yeah. Hmm.
And that's, it is, you know, where we're heading, in a way, toward that. But there's going to be a lot of roadblocks along the way for the authorities to try to get that one over.
I think we're looking at internet censorship here, because this bill, LD-471, it is talking about, it's designed specifically to combat rampant misinformation. So what do they qualify rampant misinformation as? What we're talking about today? I mean, you know, and they're talking here again, this crap they go on about how sick people rely on the immunization of others to keep their loved ones safe and healthy. And so they're spewing this vomit out, John, that there's all these sick people, they rely on being vaccinated now. And so, right. You know, it's just absolutely unbelievable. So they're pushing that as well. But, you know, I think you're right there. I think they could start. I mean, they seem to be taking this so far. I'm sitting here every day getting all these articles up thinking, how far are they going to go with this down the rabbit hole? And I think we could be looking at, you know, they could start censoring certain sites, you know, that someone might be talking about vaccines, and they might start to sort of block them out in those places like Maine, and it might roll on from there.
It could happen. And it could happen in Australia.
Yeah. Oh, of course it could.
Most assuredly. Yeah, yes.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because in Australia, I would say, well, it's hard for me to judge, but the way the government, federal government of Australia has reacted by saying those parents who receive, you know, government assistance money are going to be cut off from that money if they refuse to vaccinate their children. That's a federal mandate. And also the other follow-up mandate that former exemptions are going to be canceled, exemptions from vaccination, which only leaves a doctor's note claiming that the person, you know, has a special medical condition that precludes them being vaccinated, et cetera, et cetera. To issue federal mandates like that from the top of the government indicates to me that you could very likely see government censorship of websites that publish contrary information, the kind of information we're discussing here, because it would go along with that program. What governments are now prone to do in order to forward their goals is to say to populations, don't you understand? We're trying to protect you. That's the mantra. We're trying to protect you. We're trying to save you. We're trying to help you. We're trying to do all of these things for you to keep you secure against this, that, and the other thing. That's the mantra. So if that's the case, then the government of Australia could very easily take it upon themselves to say, and we're going to protect you from information which could infect your mind and make you believe, contrary to fact, that there's anything wrong with these life-saving vaccines. And so from now on, there will be a filtering process by which we, in fact, I don't know whether we ever discussed this before, but sometime back there, maybe 6 months ago, Google announced that they were going to change the method by which they were ranking websites when it came to, you know, subjects that people search for. Because prior to this, the way Google ranks websites is pretty much on the basis of other websites that link to your website. How many links are around that come back to your website. And the more links there are, the higher, closer to the top of the search engine on any relevant subject your website is going to be.
Yep.
But they said, no, we now have a truth vault, which is going to be a kind of scan that we do of the entire internet to come up with a consensus on any given subject. And we are now going to rate websites in terms of how close they adhere to that consensus. And those websites that depart from that consensus most radically, and we consider consensus to equal truth, we're going to put way down on the page rankings. Well, that's a corporate form of incredible censorship. Governments can do the same thing based on their own kind of propaganda. You know, it's very easy to see that coming, especially, as I say, in Australia, where the government would say, look, this is dangerous information, and we need to protect the citizenry from this because these people who are claiming that vaccines are dangerous are dangerous people.
Mm.
They want to keep you from life-saving substances that we offer to you. It's like the old medieval church in Europe. We have to protect you against witchcraft. We have to protect you against heresy. We have to censor the heretics because they can start a demonic contagion among the populace. And so we will, you know, in those days it was exile, excommunicate, torture, kill heretics. In this age, it's more along the lines of censorship, at least so far. So it wouldn't surprise me at all to see something like this coming down the pipeline in Australia.
It's already in the pipeline, John. Our present PM is working as hard as he possibly can to introduce it in bits and pieces. But
how is he introducing censorship? What is he doing along that line?
Well, he's it's mainly to do with these terrorists, you know, these so-called terrorists. It's the sort of Patriot Act all regurgitated.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much he can't talk about the vaccines, but he's doing it, as you just mentioned, to protect us.
Yes, right.
It's in this thing, protect us against the bad guys. But you can see through it that what they're doing is that they're going to eventually try and control the internet and what is spoken on the internet. And they're already doing that. They're already monitoring what's going on.
I have no doubt that they are, and that's also happening in the United States. No question about it. One of the obvious targets for the NSA in America and their counterparts all over the world, of course, is the internet and what is being published and discussed and commented on and how much traction it's getting, how many eyeballs are on it, how many views, how many comments, all of that is being collected and collated and analyzed and so forth, because the internet is one of their greatest enemies because of its openness. Anybody can start a blog. Anybody can start a podcast. Anybody with a cell phone can take video and put it up. So this now opens the door, you know, and it's been open for a long time now, to an enormous range of information that's available to people. So protection is the watchword. Listeners should be aware of that. Anytime you hear that, we're trying to protect you. Well, I don't need that kind of protection. I don't want that kind of protection. I want to have full access to information and make up my own mind about it.
Mm. But when I mentioned it's been going on for a long time, John, we go way back to the John Howard era, and he was there were about half a dozen journalists who put their papers together and formed it into a book called Silencing of Dissent. And this was in the John Howard periods, you know, oh dear, we're talking probably 10, 12, 15 years ago. And he then was working on central control in Australia. And these journalists were actually exposing it. They were disenchanted with the fact that they couldn't write their articles in the mainstream newspapers. So they got together and they formed this book called Silencing of Dissent. And it's very interesting to understand that going way back then, our government leaders were working on exactly what we're talking about now.
It's the same thing.
Yeah.
Same thing.
It's exactly the same thing. And, you know, there are keys that people should use in order to ferret this out and see where it's coming from and see how it's proceeding. You know, in my 30 years of experience as a reporter, especially when it comes to medical issues, there are certain things that I recognize right away. For example, somebody writes an article citing a study that proves what they want. Now, my experience has been that there are so many fraudulent studies out there that have been published. And this is confirmed by people who have been in the business of publishing information on the inside. No question about it. That you can see this mechanism operating. Somebody cited a study done. So, well, so what? This is an instrument that is used to make an official version of truth seem palatable to people. Oh, well, the scientists say that this is the case, so therefore it must be. I mean, if you look at all the studies that have been done on vaccine safety, for example, you would come away thinking, my God, this, you know, you can inject me with 1,000 of these things and it's safer than drinking a glass of water from the tap. Yeah. You know, because, I mean, the studies are immaculate. No adverse effects noticed aside from minor swelling at the injection site and blah, 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 blah. But then in the real world, you start to dig in and you look at the, as I said at the top of the conversation here, about the federal government of the United States suddenly scrubbing out data on their own website, which indicates 30,000 vaccine injuries a year in the United States. Well, where did that come from? That came from the real world. That didn't come from the studies. The studies were fraudulent on several counts, one of which is that they are, for the most part, very short-term studies. And so they say, well, we didn't see very much happen immediately after we vaccinated all these people. Well, congratulations. But did you stick around to find out what happened later? It's not instantaneously in all cases that the horrendous things happen. That's just one way that studies can be fixed and rigged. So what we're seeing here is a multi-direction force that has been put together to assault the public with lies presented as the truth, as if it's the truth.
Mm.
That's the way this whole thing works. And then it's only one step from there to say, well, since we know what the truth is, we, the government, we can protect you. We can keep you from being tricked by people who are lying. And we will, by deleting the information that they have to offer. Well, the whole premise of an open society is that people can make up their own minds. That they have free access to information. That's what an open society, that's where it starts. And if that's cut off, then we're talking about, you know, the typhoon has arrived.
Yes, yes.
Getting a bit scary.
Because as you mentioned earlier, John, about the government destroying all the facts and figures. It's the same thing, isn't it? It's just taking information from the public.
It was the CDC studies, Garth, all the trolls online, yeah. You know, to do with our protests coming up. And, you know, in June the 21st, the trolls are on there citing all the CDC studies, and anything anyone puts up, it's like, no, that's fraudulent. And so they don't want to know. And I said it's like arguing with a McDonald's representative over the safety of their food, isn't it, Garth? I mean,
Same thing. They
could put up a million McDonald's studies all day about how great McDonald's is, but it doesn't mean that it's real. You know,
That's because
it's the CDC, it doesn't mean that it's real. So it's incredible how much weight they still have, John, this CDC and their ridiculous studies. I mean, what do they don't meet anything in my world. I mean, no way. I'm not getting vaccinated. I don't care what they say.
Of course.
Jeez.
Of course. So, you know, Orwell in 1984 wrote about the ministry of truth.
Exactly.
Well, that phrase covers it.
It does.
How do you become the ministry of truth? Well, first of all, you become a government agency with access to billions of dollars of budget money in order to make your case stick. That's the beginning of it all. And then you hire armies of employees and PR specialists and spokespeople who, you know, cultivate contacts in the press, and you make yourself into the reliable go-to source for news stories. And you even send people into the news business. And you take people from the news business. The revolving door goes back and forth and back and forth. You do all this kind of stuff. And pretty soon, you are the Ministry of Truth. And the people that you put on television are trained, if they don't already know how to do this, in how to be arrogant and self-asserting and to look down their noses at everybody else as the great unwashed masses and so on and so forth. So they take the offensive. They are the offense, the ministry of truth. Mm. And this is what people have to understand. You have to become your own ministry of truth. And be able to bring as much power and authority based in this case on the truth to what you say and write and not be wishy-washy about it and not play defense. Oh, well, you see, I don't really agree with what the CDC is saying. No. You say the CDC are a bunch of psychopathic liars. Let's start from there.
That's what I do,
and
John.
here's evidence.
Yeah, I say they're like cigarette companies, no different, but these people are arguing with these trolls, and I said every time you argue with them, they see that as a defeat because they think that you have to sort of defend yourself. And exactly. I don't now. I just go on and I say there's no difference between the CDC and cigarette companies. They both peddle poisons. And they're liars and they're cheats and they're con artists and they falsify studies and hide things. I don't have absolutely any faith in them whatsoever. I think they're a pack of cronies and they don't answer you.
And if you look at, say, Tony Abbott, for example, what does he know about vaccines? Absolutely nothing.
Oh, he didn't vaccinate his own daughter. With the,
yeah, that's right.
Gardasil. He said, no way I'm vaccinating my daughters with Gardasil.
Right.
You know?
So now, of course, when it will be made part of the mandated schedule in Australia, then he will go along with the show and he will promote it. But the man knows absolutely nothing about vaccines.
Nothing.
He doesn't have any specialized knowledge. He's never done any personal investigating. He's never looked below the surface to find out on his own as a, quote, rational thinking human, what may be outside the realm of the Ministry of Truth. So when he makes these pronouncements or when Obama goes up there and says the science is settled on this and that, they're all idiots and criminals. This is where they get their power from, is from their position on their thrones. It has nothing to do with the truth. Mm. Just in the same way that the Pope, you know, has been said to be infallible. Well, who said that? The Pope. You know? And then his minions agreed. You know, or he called the cardinals in one day and he said, look, I need this thing. I'm going to call it infallibility. So I want you to rule on this and to claim that I'm infallible, because I should be, because I have a direct pipeline to God. More directly than any other person on earth. Therefore, I'm infallible. Get it? So I want some kind of very sober, unanimous vote with all sorts of proclamations and justifications, and I want some scholarship on this. Cook everything up that you can cook and turn me into an infallible prince on earth. That's what I need. And then I'll be able to speak from my throne of infallibility. And I will be able to say all sorts of things. And in his own way, the Pope is saying the science is settled, you know, except in his case, it's the metaphysics is settled. But the presidents and the prime ministers do the exact same thing. They just stand up there and they're basically saying, although, you know, they don't say it, but the message really is, if you're listening, look, I would just be another idiot if I didn't occupy my position. But since I do, I can now tell you everything you need to know about money, finance, foreign policy, science, medicine, or any other subject that I deem to speak upon, because I have my throne of infallibility. And people, many people actually buy this, although they don't under, you know, they won't say, I believe the president because he speaks from a throne of infallibility. They will just say, well, he's the leader of the free world, or he's the commander in chief, or he's the prime minister of Australia, and he must know what's what. Otherwise, he would never be in that position. No, actually, to gain that position, you have to be a willing front man, a puppet, for the very interests that we've been discussing in this hour, which is the mega corporations. That's how you become the prime minister or the president, including pharmaceutical corporations and giant GMO corporations and arms manufacturing corporations and so on and so forth. You are their front man. That's what you agree to. And to return to the subject of the TPP, and then I've got to go, the Trans-Pacific Partnership. If you read between the lines of the American press on what Obama is doing with this, you can see that he is in a sweat. He is in a panic. Mm-hmm. He is terrified, and he is working harder than he's ever worked in his years as president to get this thing passed, because that's why he was put there, because this treaty is a globalist corporate Rockefeller treaty. It is the most important reason that he is the president, because it was well known in 2008 when he became the president that this treaty would be negotiated and it would reach its conclusion somewhere in his second term. And his most important job, above anything else that he did or didn't do as president, was to make sure that this baby passed, that this was ratified. And if he doesn't, he's in serious trouble. Not with the public, but with the people who own him. And that is why he has been sweating this one out, and why he's become so irritated at people who are criticizing this treaty. Because he knows all the chips are on the table now. You were president, Obama, to get this done. No excuses. Get it done. Ram it through. That's the way these things work. And the same with the vaccine issue. At some point, and not in the last several months, but this has been in the planning for years now, it was well understood among global heavy hitters that there would be a renewed push to make vaccines mandatory, not just in Australia, not just in the states of the United States, but in many places around the world. And that this is a coordinated plan, and the people behind it don't want to lose. They don't consider failure an option. So those of us on the other side must not consider the failure of the truth an option.
Yes. Got it. Oh, golly, yeah, that is.
All right, John, are you ready to pack it up, I guess?
I am, yes.
All right, it's always good to speak with you, and always great to just get you on. You've got your boots on the ground there more than anyone. And,
Oh, yeah, for sure.
To check in with you and keep up with what's going on and try and keep a hold of it. But it's incredible. But your website is nomorefakenews.com, and those stories are going like hot potatoes. keep them coming. They do really well. People really love them here, and they go really well on our Facebook page. So keep them pumping out. And
I will. Thank you guys so much for the space and the time to talk about these things.
We'll catch up again soon.
Terrific.
It's a deal. Thanks again.
Thanks, John. Yeah, incredible, Garth. And unbelievable, isn't it? And I'll just finish on this, Garth, a story that went under the radar a little bit. It was posted on June the 1st, 2015. It was chemical companies to write their own chemical safety standards. Did you see this?
Yes.
It's, just going through it a little bit, it's a bill called S697, and the chemical industry is about to be given free rein to write their own safety standards. So it's unbelievable. And we saw a little while ago Monsanto lobbyist Patrick Moore said on live national TV that it's safe to drink glyphosate, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And they offered him a glass.
Yeah, it was. He said it's safe to drink glyphosate on TV, and the guy had a jar of it, and he pulled it out and said, "Here you go." Then he said, "What do you think? I'm stupid." He said, "I'm not drinking that," and he got all red and flustered and started sweating like a fat bullfrog. And then
and he left.
Yeah, and then he left. But it's staying here that we're talking about thousands of chemicals here that are deadly and hazardous to human health that shouldn't even be allowed. On the market, worse than asbestos, Garth. I mean, total stuff that causes cancer. And this new bill would essentially give free rein, as I said, to companies like Monsanto and Dow and Bayer and Syngenta, the complete authority to call their own toxic chemicals safe.
Well, they're doing that now anyway. You know, with what John said about the CDC, they were actually purchasing billions of dollars worth of these drugs that hadn't been passed properly in a public forum or by other experts, that they'd actually passed them themselves, and they were distributing that all throughout the country. I mean, this is criminal, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you can see it. They're gearing up for the TPP, though. You can see it's all matched. If you look at it all, it's all separate, but if you look at it on a grand scale, the bigger picture, it's all matched, because they're preparing themselves to completely legalize and say that there are thousands and thousands of chemicals. You know, since the 1970s, tens of thousands of chemicals have been created by these people and put onto the market and sold. Spraying it everywhere, Garth, this stuff, near schools, all over the place, to build homes, it's in materials, all over the planet.
We were using some of this stuff that the United States had classified as poisons, and they were still supplying us with it, though, and our governments were allowing it to be used in this country, and that went on for years. So, you know, there's definitely a conspiracy going way back, no matter what these people think. And, I mean, if you go back to the original, you know, like the TPP now is big in the news, but not so much the Lima Declaration, which started all this in Australia. And you just go back, I mean, that's back in the 60s when they actually, the governments made a decision without taking it to the people. They made the decision, all governments. It wasn't just the Liberal or just the Labor. It was all the governments in this country combined behind closed doors and put the Lima Declaration in, which was the start of the rot of this so-called free trade. And they'd planned that then via these drug companies and these vaccine companies. They were massive way back then. So it's all been planned. We're going back here well over five decades ago.
Oh, yeah, this S697 bill is the brainchild of a chemical industry together combined, and they've spent nearly $200 million in lobbying money to get this passage, and they've lined it up now, ready to go. So, you know, we have the chemical industry as well now able to write their own laws. But you go back to what we were talking about with John, They're also bringing in laws, you know, to stop propaganda, as they call it, which is what we're doing now, talking about trying to get information out and discuss the very real dangers and threat of vaccines. But that's considered propaganda to them and dangerous. You know, so they're going to, that's what we talked about. Are they going to start censoring websites?
Well, they certainly will, because when you look at that, they can't be legislated against. This means that they're already going around the constitutions.
Yeah, this is the bigger picture.
The law applies to the people of that particular country, but it doesn't apply to the international corporations, as John said, because they are their own law. Their own law, and their law overrides the national laws of a particular country. And this is absolutely mind-boggling.
It's unbelievable, and barely six chemical companies now make over 50,000 different pesticides.
Mm.
And they're descending now, Monsanto, on African farmers and South American farmers and Asia and all over the world, not just here. As I said, they're spraying this stuff everywhere. It's going over schools. They're spraying it near schools where children are playing.
Mm.
All this stuff, you know, it's staggering. And you can see, as I said, all this is linking up when you look at it. They're getting ready. They're getting ready. They're going for the throat now. You know, in this fake sort of Disneyland outbreak, the measles outbreak, Garth, that came, that seemed to be a real false flag. And ever since then, they've really gone for the throat here.
We didn't bring that up with John, but his take on it just absolutely clarifies it.
A few cases, yeah, and it's not even dangerous anyway. It's good to get this stuff. It's good to get
the blip on the ocean.
Measles and mumps and chicken pox. It sets your immune system up. There's nothing wrong with it. And here they are fear-mongering and spreading this propaganda and lies. Lies on top of lies on top of lies, just compounding over and over again, a vicious circle of lies they spread, and then they have the audacity to introduce bills saying that they're going to, clamp down on propaganda as they see it.
Yeah,
which is what we're talking about now. They call propaganda, you know.
But did you see that thing with the Independent in England? I'll just read you the headlines. This is the Independent paper in England, and it's quite a big circular. Quite a big a paper at its own right, and it says thousands of teenage girls enduring debilitating illnesses after routine school cancer vaccination.
I put all them up last night. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Now that's interesting, because I think some papers are starting to panic a little bit, because as John said, you know, it's only 10% of what we're hearing.
Yeah,
the illnesses from vaccines.
Yeah, there was a lady on the national news just a couple of nights ago that she's in a wheelchair because she had a terrible reaction to the flu vaccine. That was on the mainstream news, but they spun it. They showed you, but they spun it around, said it's one in a million. And they tried to make out like she's a really rare case, like the Elephant Man, you know. And it's like, no, it's happening all over the – I could sit here all day and put those stories up with the adverse reactions to the flu shots in particular. It never ends. Never ends.
Well, it certainly doesn't, because and particularly now they're going to spray them in the air.
That story you're referring to, what date is that?
Oh, dear. Rebel Newsflash, right?
Mm-hmm.
It says here – where are we? Hang on, I'll just get it. From a Rebel site, and it was today.
So it wasn't the cholera aerial spraying for cholera.
No, it came.
This is a new one you're talking about.
Yeah, it came in this morning, and I'll just dig the paper up. My computer's that slow at the moment. It's frightening. Here we are. It was it's February the 26th, 2015, by the Real Agenda News.
Well, that's just conspiracy theories, Garth.
What's that?
That's a conspiracy theory website, like all of them. If it's not from the World Health Organization and the CDC, it's a conspiracy theory. It doesn't exist. That's all it's in your mind, Garth.
Yeah. Well, listen, John wanted to send it to him. Would you send it to him?
Yeah, just email me that and I'll send it along to him. There was that same company were involved in cholera, spraying something for cholera over our livestock. But I know they've been working on aerial spraying for you know, using some type of flu.
Yeah, Paxvax,
sort of flu vaccines, but putting them in the air, you know, spraying them around the place. I know they're looking at that research, so I was sort of waiting to see what they were going to do.
Yeah, well, it's on its way. They say the Office of Gene Technology, the regulator, is on his way to approve a license application. So that's very frightening if things like that are happening, particularly in this country.
Yeah, I think maybe, you know, not to sound paranoid, but maybe they've sort of created this diversion with the vaccine issue and we're all trying to preserve our rights and we're all arguing and fighting over the needle going into our arms. But then you've got to think of the technology always being so far ahead, don't you?
Yes.
As well, so maybe, you know, this could be a diversion, sort of with all the whole vaccine issue, and they're getting ready to sort of put this stuff in the atmosphere. So, you know, you're vaccinated through breath, which is another staggeringly frightening turn, really, of events. It's I don't want to live in a world like that. I really don't.
No.
Stop the world. I want to get off now. I'm cashing in my ticket. I want to get out of here if that starts going forward.
Well, considering that 90% of the problems caused by vaccinations are not filed, you know, it's instead of having a central filing place where all these go, it's not happening. So we're only getting roughly from various people, we're getting around about 10% now. So if you added another 90% on that, as John was saying, you're getting up into the hundreds of thousands.
Yeah. Oh, it's all over the place.
Mm.
I mean, I put a story up last night, Garth, the CDC, their immunization safety director, says it's a possibility that vaccines rarely trigger autism. But it's hard to predict. So now they're in the smoke and mirrors sort of shady area saying, oh, we're just not sure if vaccines cause autism. It might, but it's hardly possible. It's this sort of doublespeak again. So this is the CDC, big senior people stepping forward now because of these whistleblowers. William Thompson, who was told to lie. By the CDC directors, about the links between autism and the MMR vaccine. And this goes back to studies from 2004.
Mm.
So they're hiding very, very, very crucially important studies to do with MMR vaccine and autism link. And this guy, they're saying that he's ready to testify. As John Rappaport said in a great article, will it be a fair testimony? Will they get the right questions in? Will they milk this guy and get the right stuff out? I doubt it.
Well, what happened to Wakefield and his
I just can't see it going forward. I can't see any. It's like it's the same as the tobacco companies, Garth. No one has ever really successfully sued the tobacco companies to find out. We know cigarettes have got thousands of chemicals, but we don't know the real technology that goes into them. And when you work for tobacco companies, you sign a clause, man. You can't quit. There's no getting out. They'll murder you. You know, they will murder. And the CDC are the same. Mm. You know, they kill people. And you never get out once you work for those people. And I can't see him. I don't know what's going to go on here, but it's the same as the tobacco companies. We cannot find out those real results that we need to. You know, but I think, as John said, they're squirming and they're getting desperate, because it's coming to a head now, and you are getting whistleblowers. And how long are they going to be able to contain this? Because, you know, I don't need some troll to tell me.
They certainly won't, because you know, as also John said, because he, you know, being a reporter, journalist for 30-odd years, and he's mixed with these people over that period, of course, and he knows all about it. And when you read some of his articles on that, these people would like to talk out. Not all of them, but many, many of them would like to talk out, but they have to put fruit on their sideboard or on the table, and what can they do? Because the editor will say to them, if you write this, you're gone, mate. You got no credibility. So it needs a lot of these whistleblowers, and it'll slowly start to bring out more and more people who are there who will come out. It'll be a snowball when it does happen.
Yeah, and as I said, the evidence is all around me. I mean, yes. You know, you'd have to be pretty spooked. You'd have to have your head in the sand. You know, yep. I don't need a troll on Facebook to tell me that vaccines don't cause death and autism and brain damage.
Well, you've only got
severe reactions. I can see it all around me. It's everywhere you look. I mean, there's five families sue Big Pharma in France for vaccine damages to their children. Health Impact News put that up last night. Five families
are
joined together.
Nearly $15 billion there.
Yeah.
Do you ever see that in a newspaper? What, how come they paid out $15 billion? You know, you say, well, hang on, wait a minute. This was a people's case against them,
yeah,
and it cost them $15 billion. But they made about $25-26 billion out of the whole deal anyway, so it didn't matter.
Well, from the BBC News, yeah, £3.5 million have been paid out in vaccine damages. The government has paid out £3.5 million to patients left disabled by vaccines since 1997. This has been revealed over there in the UK.
Mm.
So, you know, unbelievable. This is all through compensation as well as the United States.
Yeah, and the United States is much larger, of course, so the compensation is larger.
And that's the compensation that has gone out so far. That's not everybody. There's many more thousands who want to make claims. You know? So, unbelievable. Yes. 3.5 million paid out. There, just there, now.
Yep.
There's more coming. More.
This could be where things might turn, because there was also another article. I don't know whether I got that from you, but it was, is Roundup driving the autism epidemic? Because we were talking about vaccines driving the autism, but
it's environmental
Roundup
as well. Yeah, it can be environmental as well. Yeah. It's not just vaccines. They're contributing to it, but also
vaccines.
What you said, yeah, the Roundup going in our food and water and air and everywhere. Everywhere, going all over the place. That's contributing, the GMO food, the chemicals, the plastics, everything. It's all damaging our immune system, you know. And so that's all a contributing factor, especially in young children now who are born onto this planet in 2015 in particular, that are now being introduced to all these deadly chemicals and all this stuff in their food and the environment around them.
And well, we're now seeing the results of it. We're seeing the results.
Of course it's going to have a terrible result on your body.
More and more people are going to start reacting because their families are dying in front of them.
And they're just, yeah, these companies like the CDC and Monsanto and all these dreadful demons, they're just desperately trying to cover it all with false information and propaganda.
Well, how long have we been talking about corporations ruling the world?
Exactly, and that's what we're talking about now with the TPP. If these go through, they absolutely will. This is 1984. That's what the TPP is. They will have open reign.
And that's what 1984 was, wasn't it? I mean, if you look, when you read the book, it's not government, it's corporation.
Corporations, that's exactly right. And they can literally write their own laws here and change them at will. But as we said, once the TPP has been signed in, you will never get rid of it.
It'd be almost impossible. It'll be too late because, you're dealing with an international force.
Well, Monsanto will come into Australia and say, we're bringing in our GMO seeds to plant now. Your farmers are going to buy them off us. And when you complain, we'll just sue you.
Well, what they'll do is, they'll close down anybody who wants to grow their own food.
Exactly.
So you're going to see a double whammy here where you won't be able to grow your own food they'll make that illegal, like they're trying to do in America in parts of it. And then they're going to come in and say, well, that's the only food you've got, buddy, our food. Well, it's perfect control, isn't it? I mean, you control the – they control the money, they control the newspapers, they control the food, and they control the water. And, I mean, there's nothing else. I mean, we're gone. So it's certainly down the rabbit hole, all right. And if it gets in, and as John was talking about, how Obama is under a lot of pressure at the moment to get it through as quickly as possible because he's dallied too long. But I think more and more people are sort of rebelling against it, and this is one of the reasons that there's a bit of a panic to get it through as well, because more and more people are understanding about these so-called free trade agreements.
Yeah, exactly right.
And they'll have to take the internet out to get people away from understanding, more and more people from understanding, and that's definitely what this...
They have to, Garth, because as people get sicker and sicker, and, you know, we've clearly seen now that whooping cough vaccine's not only making people worse, but it's failed.
Yeah.
And it's failed dismally, and it's spreading. But as people get sicker and sicker, and this information will become more plentiful, you know, from what we're doing and John's doing in Natural News and everywhere. You know, as the information just becomes so overwhelming, so they're going to have a way to suppress that information, aren't they?
They certainly do.
Pretty obvious, because it's not like before. Now it's just getting overwhelming, and they won't be able to stop this information, particularly in regards to vaccine damage. It's going to be too much. So they've got to just sort of, what they'll do is they'll just snuff it out online, and that's what Google's here for.
Yep.
That's what Google was designed to do, and that's what they will do. They're already doing it.
Well, you see, with anything they bring in, particularly with drugs and all that sort of stuff, it takes a number of decades before they can get real accurate statistics on it. So you can't get statistics on any of these things overnight. It has to take a long time. Well, vaccines have been in this country since about the, 50s? So we're now seeing that more and more of experiencing this, when they put things together, we're starting to get accurate results, and this is what they don't want. And this is why what John was mentioning as well, how they destroyed all the files, all the cases, all the complaints, you see, because it doesn't look good in the stats. Because you can only work stacks a certain amount. You can muck around with the statistics and you can change it a little bit and shove it here and push it there. But eventually, after a certain amount of time, you can't do that. You know, so they've got to start getting rid of the information that goes into the statistics. And that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
Because if you put all that information in, you'd get a totally different stat. And it wouldn't be very helpful for the drug companies.
The CDC gods.
The CDC gods,
yeah, yes. They write their own studies and come to the conclusions that they want to come to. that's it, you know? So, you know, it really is incredible.
Well, that Thompson, the whistleblower, he said that.
Yeah, they just write what they want,
They said, we want it written this way. Don't worry about the science. We want it written this way. Yeah, and at least he had a conscience about it, and he's now out in the open, and let's hope some more come out, Adam. That's all I can hope for.
And what makes me really...
Because Dr. Wakefield, he's doing such good work.
Yeah, brave people.
And brave people, and when you get people like all the ones we've spoken to, like Sophia and Dr. Reamer, etc., you know, John Rappaport, all these people, it's starting to come together and make a hell of a lot of sense. And you can't listen to these people and say, no, you're a conspiracy theorist. You can't do that because they've got too much facts, too much going for them. And you'd have to be a moron to even suggest that they're a conspiracy theorist, wouldn't you? It's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
And so what makes it's just absolutely these sickening, disgraceful, disgusting talking heads on our news. These reporters up there on the ABC and Channel 7 and 9, they're just despicable, unbelievable. So it's unbearable to watch. I can't watch it anymore. It makes my blood boil. I want to jump out the window. It's just horrifying. I just lost you there, Garthy. I was just talking about the media. I just can't watch it anymore. I can't. I try. I need to, you know, for doing this, and I have to even 10 minutes of it.
Yeah, it makes you mad.
It makes me mad. I try not to get mad, but the blood starts sort of bubbling into the head, and I have to go for a walk, do something. I can't take them. They're just, and as we said to John, they don't know what they're talking about. They have no knowledge. They have zero knowledge. Not even zero knowledge.
They work off prompts.
They're know nothings. They're overeducated dimwits that get churned out of universities stupider than when they went in there, you know? And it's like, I can't take the media in this country. It is beyond disgraceful. So it's very hard for me to deal with them in any way. I just it's infuriating. With these people, they're just pathetic, and they don't care either way. You know, they don't care about. They don't care. They're just reading off a teleprompter, doing what they're told to do because they're prostitutes. But anyway, we'll finish up today, Garth, and just mention the freedom of choice marches. They are all happening across Australia on Sunday, June the 21st. The one in Sydney is at Town Hall in George Street. 483 George Street, Sydney, on Sunday 21st at 1 p.m, Garth. That's a Freedom of Choice march. And I suggest anyone in Sydney or around Sydney area, just go to that.
Yes.
Because at the end of the day, it's not about pro-vaxxers or anti-vaxxers, none of that. It's about what's coming down the line, Garth.
Yeah, well, that's
about,
for sure.
It's about what's coming. And these stupid pro-vaxxers don't understand that we're trying to protect their rights as well, because they have no idea what's coming, Garth. And it is not good. It is ugly. And we need to stop this, because if these go in, Garth, it's incremental. You know, it's not just about losing your payments now for parents. It'll get worse, and it will become compulsory. It will. And it will become compulsory for your job, wherever you work. It will be compulsory. Otherwise, you won't get a job. And then you won't be able to travel. Believe me. And so we don't want this in this country. And so these marches are important for so many reasons. It's about our health freedoms, Garth. It's about our right to choose. I don't give a shit if people want to vaccinate. Go and have a million of the bloody things. I don't care. I'm not here telling people not to get vaccinated. I just want to have and retain the right to not get vaccinated if I choose.
Yeah.
That's our right. And we're going to lose it. And that is a bad thing on all fronts. There's nothing good that can come out of these government laws that Mr. Abbott, the hypocrite, is pushing through, Garth. He's a hypocrite. And he knows it. And these are bad. So everybody who cares about civil liberties, your right to choose, health freedoms, all of this, you need to get to those marches in Brisbane, Sydney. They're on in Adelaide. They're on in Perth, Melbourne. Go to the Facebook pages and just type in "no jab, no pay, no way," and you'll get the different marches. People have got to get down there to Sydney. I'm in Sydney, Garth. You've got to get there. Just go and turn up. There's speakers on the day. Go and show your presence there, because this is really important that we stop all this before it escalates and gets out of control and gets worse. And we find ourselves living in George Orwell's 1984, Garth, where you have no rights. You know, so it's really important that people go along to this march. Even if you are a pro-vaxxer, if you do vaccinate your kids, go along, because we need to retain our rights and our dignity. As well, Garth, you know?
Well, of course. It's
a basic human fundamental God-given right to say no to these things. You know?
But, I mean, you're talking about George Orwell in 1984, but alongside the vaccinations we see with this TPP, which is going to really take control of any vaccinations over us, we'll have no choice then, as John so, intelligently explained the whole setup of the TPP. Well, here's an instance in this country where you say your government, we have no rights here because our government are discussing it behind closed doors.
Exactly, that's the thing. There's no.
We have no rights.
Public.
We have
input.
No rights to discuss it, and no they want input. To close the internet down, so we can't discuss it.
Yeah. Or you can discuss it, but only if you favour them.
Yes, of course.
If you're on their side and you love the TPP and you love vaccines like all these trolls do,
you can talk about it all you like.
Oh, though you'll have your websites will be.
In fact, you might get a job with one of the bloody TV stations.
Well, you will. Yeah.
Oh dear.
But this kind of stuff will not be tolerated.
Oh dear me.
Is that
I don't
the
know.
Kind of world that even pro-vax people want to live in? You know?
I wonder what they'll think if it all comes in, Adam, these pro-vaxxers and all these
the
idiots
thing.
Who go along with it. I wonder how they're going to look at their kids down the track and say, well, I helped bring this in.
Exactly. But it's like preppers, Garth. They make fun of preppers, you know, but what if something happens, you know, on this planet where there is a disaster or we don't have power and there's years without it?
That's right.
What if the economies collapse and something bad happens, for example, and there's no food and water? And there's no access to fuel and all this stuff. These fucking people are going to be like the drowning man. They're going to want what you have.
Of course.
It's like someone drowning, Garth, and you jump in to save them, and they drown you, trying to save themselves. That's the pro-vaxxers. That's what they do. They shoot their big mouths off, but they don't understand what they're contributing to, and they don't understand who they're protecting. Because who they're protecting, These creatures, Garth, they don't give a shit about the pro-vaxxers. Believe me, they don't care, you know.
Of course they don't.
So, you know, these people need to stop this, you know, and
well, they need to have a look at it. They need to sit down and read both sides of the story and then make a decision. Instead of taking what the newspapers and the TV tell you, these people have got to go in and investigate themselves and go do as much as they can possibly humanly do and then sit down and make a decision. Well, that should be all our choice. We should have that freedom of choice where we make a decision, an educated decision.
Well, you can
That's
see
what
with
they're
the...
taking from us. They don't want us to be educated.
No.
So they're saying you will do what we want you to do. That's it.
You can see with the measles outbreak in Disneyland, Garth, this is scary because it's showing you what they're willing to try. You know, I mean, if they release something into a public space and then tell us that all these children have been infected, then suddenly, very much, an unvaccinated child becomes a threat to our society. You know, so I don't know what they're willing to try. But
well,
if they deem unvaccinated children to be a threat to society, to other children in schools, on the bus, in the playgrounds, in the street, wherever it is, you know, then that's when they bring in mandatory vaccinations and criminal charges.
If you don't.
And bringing in the child protection people to take your children away from you. And if this is the real deal. We're talking about here. You will be criminally charged,
of course,
and your kids will be taken from you because you contributed to that threat. You're also a danger to this country. That's where they're going. So we need to stop this very quickly. And if we, as Dr. Reamer have always said, Garth, if enough of us push back hard enough, they do step back. They always come back, but we might get them to step back for now until we can work out what's going on here. But we can't just sit around and call each other pro-vaxxers and anti-vaxxers while this goes through behind our backs. Because it is incremental and it's going to get worse. So people need to really understand the bigger picture here and where this is really going. That's no joke.
Yeah, but the pro-vax and the anti-vax, that's just like everything else. It's like abortion for and against. It's like everything else that's been set up through the system, the newspapers and the governments. It's while people are fighting and arguing against each other, there's no sense.
There's no nothing being
nothing's
done.
Nothing's happening that's constructive or positive.
There's a lot of positive people.
So what they're trying to do is just keep people fighting and arguing. But these marches shouldn't just be about the fact that Abbott is taking away the the monies that these people would normally get because they're not vaccinating their children. He's going to take the subsidies off them. Well, it shouldn't just be about that as well. It should be about, our rights as well as the whole area combined, the whole picture around vaccination. It's not just pro, for and against with vaccinations. It doesn't stop there and it doesn't start there. There's the whole huge picture surrounding this and it goes back decades. And people have got to understand that. Instead of saying, well, I'm for vaccinations, for God's sakes, go and read into it and try and understand. Have a look at the big picture, because it's not just about that. It's about these huge corporations controlling our governments.
And your body.
Taking over.
And your body.
And your body and everything you do, and you will become a slave. Well, you are a slave now. I mean, we're already being farmed. I mean, there are many authors and scholars have written about that. And I was just recently, there was a guy called Stefan Molyneux. He's a philosopher and a journalist and that. And he's been talking about this farming for a long time now and explaining how we're being farmed. And we don't even know it. We don't even realize that we're being farmed. And it's like they're doing to our cattle. It's exactly the same thing because they want a dairy cow to produce 10, 12, 15 times more milk than a natural cow left in the paddock to eat good grass would do.
Well,
so the farmer wants to increase his profit, so he injects them, you see.
These are the Chinese companies
that
are buying up our dairies, especially in Victoria and Western Australia. They're coming in now and they want to milk these cows to death to ship all the milk back over to China, and they don't care about animal rights.
Yeah, but what I was saying was more from the point of the people in the country was that we are being farmed just like our own cattle are being farmed. You see, the farmers farming the cattle for profit and the governments are farming us for profit.
Well, who's farming the governments for profit?
Who's farming the governments? Well, the corporations are coming in now and if they get this TPP in, we're going to see it's not much good you're going down the street and marching anymore once the TPP comes.
Oh, we're done.
Because you're ratchet, mate.
Yep.
You're down the tube because when they come in, you cannot protest against any of their products. And you can't even go to a law court and do it, as John was explaining it,
Because
it goes to another tribunal.
Yeah,
and it
will
be decided then and there at the tribunal. Forget your constitution because it doesn't exist anymore. So you should be marching about those things as well.
There's just not enough of us to do it, Garth. Even if we got some marches together, it'd probably only be a couple hundred people, if that, in each city. It's just not enough.
Well, people aren't interested, and that's the thing. Going down the gurgler, because they're not interested. You know, and these same people in the newspapers you were talking about, these drones, these idiots that say, well, go and get the injection, what's wrong with you? You know, these are the people that are leading us down the drain. And this is the problem, is because the newspapers, it's worked. The propaganda has worked.
And the fluoride?
Everything has worked. The fluoride, the whole box and dice. I mean, we've recently, or a little while ago, we were talking about they're introducing GMO crops into Western Australia. Now, Western Australia is the start of biodynamics in the world, would you believe? Biodynamics, Western Australia, is the birth of biodynamics in the world. And here they are introducing GMO crops to absolutely wipe out these biodynamic farmers, and the government is allowing it. So who's controlling the government in Western Australia? And if some clown tries to tell me that I'm imagining it or I'm a conspiracy theorist, when these facts are on the ground right in front of our noses, and this is just one fact of thousands that's going on under our noses.
Yeah, but I want to see Monsanto studies, Garth. I'm not interested in your conspiracy theory, sorry. It's got to be backed by the CDC or Monsanto, or it just didn't happen. You know? Come on, mate.
Well, I can give you those if you're prepared to read them. That's a joke, isn't it? You got to laugh, otherwise you'd go mental.
I think a lot of people, from what I've seen on social media, they're really they're really starting to wake up now and see this. And I think in regards to the protests that are going to be happening, at least it's something, and it's a positive step forward. So we hope everyone can get involved in that. But looking at these trolls, as they call them on there, the ones that are permanently on there causing trouble, God knows who they work for, and I don't care. They're just pushing CDC and WHO propaganda, and there's no use. I've told people there's no use arguing with them. It's like a dog chasing its own tail. You can't win with them. So we just need to ignore them and keep pushing through as best we can. But it seems most people, even people who do vaccinate, Garth, are seeing what's coming down the line here.
Of course.
They see that it's not fair at all, you know.
Well, if you remember the interview or a couple ago that we had, I missed a couple, but the one I was actually on when Ralph was on, and he was talking about how he represents these people over there in America that have been injured by vaccines. And he said in some of these marches he goes to, there are a lot of people who have vaccinated their children who turn up.
Yes, well, yeah.
So that's exactly what you're saying. There are more and more people are saying, well, you know, my kids are all right at the moment, but by golly, in the street, we've got, say, 10 or 15 children that are sick.
Yeah, the trolls on...
And people talk.
The trolls
people talk, you see.
The trolls on social media and in the Murdoch newspapers, we know, they're like it's like a religion. They're like a rogue vigilante group of so-called pro-vaxxers. But it seems to me they don't care about anything. They're just there to cause trouble. I don't know who's paying them or who they are, but they're trying to make out like they're bigger than they are.
Yeah, but we've seen photographs of roomfuls of these people on computers.
Yeah,
paid by these companies like CDC, these government organisations, universities, and these drug companies.
It might be only two or three of them, though, Garth, and you've got like dozens and dozens, even up to heaps and heaps of people on social media that are on our side. But you've got one or two of these trolls that just keep going and keep pushing this.
Yeah, but there's roomfuls. There's 30, 50 people in a room.
There's millions of us. Millions.
I mean, the damage they do.
They do. And it's psychological damage. They know how to make people angry, and I think they're trying to upset people so they give up and go away.
That's why you can't discuss it with them.
You can't win. You can't win. And they're just smart asses. And you can see I've been watching all of their comments, and they're trying to get into people's heads. Yeah.
Yeah, I've noticed that sometimes, not I don't do it now, but sometimes in the past, when I would come on and take them on, that other people would come in.
Yeah, they call each other.
People would read it and they would say, oh, I'm not going to get in on there because I got no support. You know, I'll be by myself. But somebody else comes in and starts to take them on, then support starts to come in. I've noticed that happens.
Yeah, it's happening a lot lately. And also some of the one in particular, Dr. Reema's paper that she presented to the Indian Health Conference. And the Indian Congress, she wrote a pretty incredible paper.
Yes.
It explains that they didn't eradicate polio and smallpox, that they changed the names. Mm. It's a very large paper, and not one of them have been able to answer that. And I was actually on there on Facebook with people watching, and I demanded that this troll answer this paper. And they just reverted to a childlike mentality and then disappeared. And then 20 minutes later, you come back and they're in there pushing someone else. You know what I mean? And they're just telling that all your information that you're putting up, it's all conspiracy theory sites. It's not CDC backed. I think people, what they're doing, these trolls though, Garth, is they're digging their own graves. Because even if you were a pro-vaxxer and you went onto the Facebook pages on these March protest sites and you had a look at all the information that all the good people like us are putting up and you compare it to the trolls, it's ludicrous. It's laughable.
No, they don't put any information up.
And they're just getting nasty and they're vicious and they're attacking people. So anyone with a half a brain can see I'm not going on their side at all. They're absolutely out of their minds. So it's good. They're actually helping us. So thank you, trolls. It's really good. You're helping us. Keep digging. I'll even buy you a nice silver shovel to dig your hole.
No, I wouldn't.
I'll give them a shovel.
I got better ideas.
I'll give them a shovel. They can dig their own hole because they're pathetic. And they're just gutless cowards, hiding behind a computer screen somewhere, mouthing off. But they've got nothing to back themselves up. No hard evidence. Nothing whatsoever. So I always tell all that there's a lot of people getting on board now, Garth. And so good on them. And they're doing a great job. And I just keep saying, get that information up. Keep putting all these links up. Keep your comments coming, but ignore them. You know, snuff them out. They're a joke. So, you know, it's positive, absolutely positive. So, you know, all those people out there that are doing all the hard work and going to go to these marches, get along and, you know, show up and say something, say something, do something, Garth. Otherwise, yes. it's going to be dark days ahead. Well, it is dark days ahead and it's dark days now. But you know, that's the way it's been throughout all of history. So, you know, we have to do our best, Garth, as best we can, and, keep the information rolling, because it is overwhelming. It's just absolutely overwhelming, particularly when you start noticing it and in concerns to vaccine damage. And I think people now, Garth, you know, especially in Australia, when, they took their child to get vaccinated, and that child had an adverse reaction, they didn't know what to do, how to register it, who to tell. The doctor doesn't care. As I said, the doctors are like a used car salesman. They'll tell you anything. They're your best friend in the world to get you in that new car. And once you drive out in it and you've got a problem and you ring them up, who are you? What? They don't care. So that's the way it is, you know?
Yes. Yes, people got to understand it's not that. Good, that's for sure.
It's, anyway, we'll pack it up today, Garth. And
all right, yes.
Talk again next week.
You're breaking up a little bit. Yeah, sure.
No, it's good on my end. Mate, it's good on my end. I can hear you nice and clear. Yeah, perfect. No worries.
About to ring them again. I'm having trouble. Nothing unusual.
No. It's the Australian internet system.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. You take care.